Thank you, Linda. You know what's really very interesting about that reading is the talk of the judge standing at the door and judgment coming. And if you think about what Linda just read, what are they judging us on? How well we get along with each other. How charitable we are toward each other. It's not a cause for dread at all, but a cause for joy that James is asserting that what God wants is a peaceful universe. What God wants is for us to have joy. Indeed, that God has built us for joy. Now in our reading from Isaiah, the prophets that James wrote of, he speaks of joy. But Isaiah is speaking of joy to people who have no reason to feel joyous. They are people who have been pulled from their homes, from their land, who have gone through death and hardship of every kind, are now strangers in a different land, who want only to get home, to have their families restored, and to feel closer to God. And so Isaiah preaches joy to them, but it is a preaching of joy that recognizes hardship that we all face at times. From chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. You know, I've got to say, preaching a sermon on joy, I almost feel unnecessary because of a message on joy that Claudia shared a few years ago that still resonates with me every single day of my life. And it was a message that she shared soon after deep loss of her own. And her message was so simple and so incredibly profound. When she said, you can think of joy as being in a jar up on a shelf. Sorrow can visit you, and I'm paraphrasing here, Claudia. Sorrow can visit you, but joy is a conscious choice. A conscious choice to feel, create, and welcome joy into your life. And if someone deep in grief can share that message with me and with all of us, then for those of us not in deep grief, well, we should have an even lesser reach for that jar of joy. God built us for joy. God wants us to feel a lightness of heart and a marvel at all the beauty around us. But at the same time, looking through this collection of books, God recognizes over and over again that there are times when joy is the last thing we can conjure up, when times are difficult, when the disappointment is just too great, when we feel isolated, alone, disappointed, hurt. And this is who Isaiah was writing to. And Isaiah acknowledges the vast desert between the joy of the promised land and where all these people are. A great gulf has opened up, treacherous ground. The people he's speaking to are miles from joy. Now, when everyone felt happy before the exile, Isaiah the prophet warned them. He was a real stick in the mud. He was not the life of the party. He was always telling them, be careful. Bad things are coming. Terrible things are coming. Repent and prepare. And sure enough, they stopped laughing when they were overrun and torn away and made prisoners. And then Isaiah changed his tune. Isaiah said, this isn't the end, but you will return to your promised land. You will return to joy. That desert that you were driven across, rain will fall and there will be streams to refresh you and wild animals won't touch you because God wants us to feel joy. Now, in Isaiah's case, he was promising it to future generations. And it came, just as Isaiah and God promised. And so it is for us sometimes that we are separated from that which we think will bring us joy. In some cases, we know will bring us joy. And it looks like a vast gulf between where we are standing right now and the kind of life we really want. Now, any pastor worth their salt would not just tell you, it's Christmas, be joyful, but remind you of what Claudia told us before. You got to reach for joy. Sometimes you got to fight for joy. Sometimes it takes everything you've got to get there. Sarah knows that very well. All the time you've spent in hospitals, all the time you've spent overcoming. And yet you continue to reach, always reaching for joy. And there are examples throughout this congregation of people who have done the same. Some of you are facing your first holiday season without a loved one now, a particular loved one. And you're going to have to really work hard to find your joy. But know this. God created you for completeness, for wholeness. And yes, sometimes you will be broken. But even now in your brokenness, God is about the work of mending. Even now as you are lost, God is about the work of clearing a path for you back to joy and back to wonder and back to love. Hope, peace, joy are first preparations for Christmas and Advent. All of them are wrapped around Jesus and the meaning of the season. I want to tell a little story I heard just this week, which I believe is true. Happened somewhere up in Minnesota, they don't name the town, I think out of embarrassment, where the town supervisor of this small town was due to retire. And so they decided in their little town, that seldom had any excuse to party, that they were going to throw a huge bash, a great big huge party, as a retirement party for their beloved supervisor who was retiring. And so everyone from the surrounding countryside, all the farmers came into town, everyone came into town for this big party, and the wine flowed, and everybody had a marvelous time, a fantastic time, brilliant time, enjoyed it thoroughly. Straggled into the morning, the diner the morning after with thumping heads, two gentlemen who had been at the party. And one of them said to the other, did you actually get a chance to talk to the supervisor at all? And the other guy said, no, I didn't see him. And it turns out the night before, the supervisor had had some kind of flu-like symptoms that led him to be taken to the hospital, and he never showed to the party. And they were so busy partying that they didn't notice that the guest of honor was not there. Now, can you understand why the town's left nameless? That can happen with us too. Christmas is a wonderful time. It's a time when we get to behave like children. In fact, it's a time when if we behave like children, it's considered that there's something wrong with us, right? And I'm not going to pound on you to invite Jesus to the party, though that is the point of the story. But I'm going to say this. In my life, at those times when I have been distant from joy, and I have had no idea how to get back there, the people who have helped me find the path have been those who have been filled with Jesus Christ. And the only reading that has helped has been just the ultimate self-help book. I return to the Gospels over and over again when the times are the toughest. And that is the one tried and true way through the wilderness for me. More prayer time. More time with good people who I know I can trust, who've been through things as well. This ode to joy that I am sharing with you today is simply this. We are, some of us in this room, like little garments. God's little garments who can help other people in this room right now make the choice to turn back onto that road to joy. We are built not only to feel joy, but to spread joy. The whole reason that Jesus came to show that way. Jesus is an acknowledgement of just how lousy our lives can be. Jesus is an acknowledgement that we sometimes need help beyond the strength of our hands and the thinking of our minds and the five senses. Jesus is tried and true, a sure thing. So if you're in a position right now where you can feel joy, God's sake, help someone else reach for it. And if you're in a position right now where joy is far away, for God's sake, reach out to one of us. Amen.